yourself a song to sing, and sing it till you're done. Yes, sing it hard and sing it well. Send the robber barons straight to hell. The greedy thieves who came around and ate the flesh of everything they found, whose crimes have gone unpunished now, walk the streets a screaming now.
All you 99%ers, this is Dr. Jack Rasmus. This is Alternative Visions, where we talk about solutions as well as the dimensions and scope of the crises, economic and political, facing the U.S. and global economy. Okay, today we're going to talk about two topics here. First of all, I want to say something about Obama's budget. The 2014 budget begins in August, recently last month. April, in fact, published. Let's take a look at that budget, and what does it tell us in terms of a continued austerity, American style, deficit cutting, which seems to be on the shelf here temporarily, and we'll explain why, but we'll come August, I predict and have been predicting, we'll be back on the front page. And I'll explain why that will be. And, of course, Obama's budget gives us a good idea where he will be coming from in terms of these subsequent negotiations that are going to occur. And as I have indicated in an article forthcoming here in the next couple months, what we've got here is austerity American style, from grand bargain to grand collusion. More than ever before, and particularly since the election, we've been seeing a closer collusion, deal-making behind the scenes between Obama and the Tea Party Republicans in the House. That's why a deal's going to come. But it's not a bargain in any sense. It's a trade-off. It's a grand collusion between the two forces here. And it's going to result in bigger tax cuts for corporations, and more tax hikes for middle class as your deductions disappear or are trimmed back. We're going to see some big deals on Social Security and Medicare cutting. Okay, I want to talk about that in the first half of the show. But then in the second half, I want to give a report on a recent conference I just attended this past weekend on the public banking. The Public Banking Institute had its conference in California over the weekend, and some interesting things to discuss or to report to you all about that. As you know, I am a supporter of public banking, utility banking, which we only have one example in the United States, North Dakota. But 23 different states now have legislation pending to introduce some kind of public or utility banking. And, of course, utility banking, public banking, is not really new. It's been around for centuries. And a good part of the rest of the world has public banking, utility banking. Think of public banking as utility banking charging interest rates at cost to borrowers, homeowners, small businesses, and so forth. And we take the big profit out of the banking system. Take the ability of private, for-profit corporate banks to create money, and let the government and the people create their own money and take the profit out of it, lower interest rates and the cost of loans and so forth, and put a moat around the consumer and the small business being so negatively impacted every time big banks and shadow banks engage in their speculation, which is growing, by the way, around the world once again. They drag down the rest of the banking system and loans to folks that really need it and wreck the whole economy in the process. I'll explain why we're moving in that direction again, why the global financial system is already on a speculative binge in a number of markets around the world and how it now looks like this speculative binge is beginning to crumble. I wouldn't say crash yet, but in a number of places it is crumbling. And we'll talk about that, too, in the second half of an hour. Okay, but let's go back and talk about Obama's budget. Okay, on April 10th of this year, Obama released his formal budget, ushering in what I predict will be the final stage of negotiations, for now, involving deficit cuts, a process that began well back in the summer of 2009 when Obama, the ink not only not yet dried on his stimulus program, put together a deficit-cutting commission to recommend how to take back that stimulus once the economy has recovered, fully recovered. Of course, the economy hasn't fully recovered. Nonetheless, we have the creation of what was called the Simpson-Bowles Commission back in 2009. Remember Alan Simpson? Right, arch conservative senator from Wyoming, and Bill Clinton, former chief of staff, now investment banker, Erskine Bowles. These two turkeys put together this commission and released their report right after the November 2010 midterm elections, calling for $4.4 trillion in deficit cutting in the coming decade, with a mix of about 25% tax hikes and 75% spending cuts. This report served as the template for deficit cutting negotiations ever since. 2011, remember the debt ceiling deal in August 2011? $1 trillion in spending only, $1 trillion in spending only, with another $1.2 trillion to take effect here this past January, called the sequester. So $2.2 trillion, and there were no tax hikes in that $2.2 trillion. In other words, it was Obama and Democrats agreed to something even worse that Simpson-Bowles had proposed. Okay, so $2.2 trillion. And then, of course, the fiscal cliff nonsense that was the topic in Washington right after the 2012 elections. And everyone said the economy was going to collapse with the fiscal cliff, which is really all about the Bush tax cuts. $3.4 trillion of tax cuts over the previous decade, expiring on December 31st of last year, right? And what do we get? We get a reduction of the Bush tax cuts of only $600 billion, $60 billion a year, okay? $60 billion this year. And at the same time, we cut the payroll tax, raised it back again. That's $100 billion. $120 billion, so twice as much of a tax hike on the average working guy, and only half of that on the wealthy. That was the fiscal cliff, occurred in January. All right. So we have $2.2 trillion. The sequester went through on March 1st, $2.2 trillion in the total spending only cuts, and $0.6 trillion in token tax hikes. Obama had been saying we're going to cut or raise taxes rather on the wealthiest 2%. Well, the fiscal cliff tax hikes amounted only to a tax hike on the wealthiest 0.7%. And in exchange for that, they got some pretty good deals as part of that, quote, tax hike. For example, they got a further cut as part of the fiscal cliff deal in the estate tax worth tens of billions of dollars a year. The alternative minimum tax, which was supposed to make them pay something, despite their loopholes, that was totally and permanently repealed. Another $100 billion a year windfall for them. And all the other Bush tax cuts, in other words, $2.8 trillion of $3.4 trillion. Well, actually, though, let me back up. Not $2.8, $3.4. Congressional Budget Office projected last year that if all the Bush tax cuts were allowed to go through last January, it would be cost the government $4.6 trillion. Okay, so they took back $0.6 trillion and they let $4 trillion go through. And that's why, of course, we have the big deficit projections for the coming year. It's all the Bush tax cuts, folks. All the Bush tax cuts. That's the big problem. And we let it go through and only put a token increase on the wealthiest 0.7%. Okay. That's the picture up until the current situation. Obama thought the sequestered spending cuts went into effect on March 1st would be a way for him to get more tax hikes out of the Republicans, but didn't happen again. Went through $1.2 trillion, including some defense spending cuts, which are now being reversed, by the way, in Congress. All kind of plans to restore the defense cuts, but not the social program cuts. Okay, so no crisis on January 1st, fiscal cliff, token tax hike on the super rich. Everyone else gets a big spending cut on March 1st with the sequestered. Everyone thought, well, you know, Obama get another bite at the apple, get some tax loophole changes here, perhaps, on March 27th when the government had to be funded again. Well, that went through without a fight. So no fight on March 1st, no fight on March 27th, May 18th, debt ceiling deadline comes and goes, no fight there. Oh, these guys aren't fighting anymore. There's no negotiations anymore. It's a collusion. They've worked out the deal, and you will see the deal described later in this year. Now, what's holding the deal up? Well, what's holding the deal up is everybody in Washington's waiting on the big tax code revisions. Big tax code revisions. That's coming, well, about August, September time frame. Oh, just before the new budget proposal by Obama goes into effect on October 1st. So they're waiting for the big tax code changes to occur, and then they're going to wheel and deal. Wheel and deal, more spending cuts, particularly Social Security and Medicare trade-offs that Obama has proposed, as we're going to see here shortly in his budget, and the big tax cut, big corporate tax cuts, the tax code workover that will come August, September. Okay, so what are we going to see in this corporate tax cut bill? And it is a corporate tax cut bill, by the way. What you definitely will see is reduction of the top rates for corporate income taxes of 35% to 28%. Now, Obama has been in favor of that all throughout the election year. His position was essentially the same as Romney's. They're all in agreement to cut corporate tax cuts now. All right, they token raised individual income taxes on January 1st with the fiscal cliff. But now they're going to turn around, and the corporations that generate the income for the wealthy are going to get a big tax cut. And not just the top corporate tax rate. You'll see a deal on multinational corporations who are now hoarding offshore $1.9 trillion, admittedly, probably more than that, $1.9 trillion. Companies like Apple and pharmaceutical companies and banks and other multinationals are simply keeping their profits offshore and not bringing them back and paying any taxes to the tune of $1.9 trillion. Not a small amount. You know, if you just tax that at a 35% rate, okay, that's $700 billion. Well, $700 billion is just about what Obama's proposing to cut Social Security and Medicare. All right, so we see where their real preferences lie, right? Give more cuts, taxes to multinationals, and make grandma and grandpa pay the difference. Okay, so let's move on with this picture here. Right? We'll talk a little bit more about the pending tax deal that's coming. That's going to be rolled into the further deficit cuts at year end. Now, remember, all this starts with Simpson-Bowles. What are their recommendations? This is the template, and what we will see in further negotiations could also be patterned after Simpson-Bowles. After all, Simpson-Bowles had $4.4 trillion And that's what they're looking at, $4.4 trillion in token tax hikes, more tax cuts, and mostly spending cuts, and mostly non-defense spending cuts. That's the deal they're trying to work here. All right, so what did Simpson-Bowles propose in its 2010 commission report in terms of cuts to Social Security and Medicare? Well, listen to this, right? They called for a new $550 a year deductible for Parts A and B of Medicare. Part A, of course, is hospital. Medicare is doctors. Now, right now, in Part B of Medicare, retirees have to pay 20%. In other words, Part B doctor's fees only covers 80%. They got to go out and get insurance for another 20%. However, Part A hospital is fully 100% covered by the Medicare payroll tax. Well, what Simpson-Bowles is proposing is that we'll make folks go out and get insurance for 20% of hospital coverage, not just 20% for doctor coverage. Okay. Raise, in other words, the out-of-pocket expenses for Part A. That adds up to, if you're going to buy insurance to cover the other 20% for hospital as well as doctors, what you're looking at for seniors is additional costs of $150 to $300 a month in buying private insurance to cover 20% for Part A and Part B. That's an average, okay? All right. Keep in mind, that would be deducted from their Social Security retirement benefits, which average today only about $1,100 a month. So in other words, what Simpson-Bowles recommended is let's take another $300 a month out of $1,100 a month. In other words, make seniors pay more. They're not going to cut benefits. They're going to make you pay more for them. Now, that's Simpson-Bowles, but let's not forget this past January and February, Obama twice indicated that, he agrees with Simpson-Bowles on Medicare proposals. So that's what he's got in his back pocket when it comes to wheeling and dealing. We'll see some part of these Simpson-Bowles proposals for cutting Medicare come out later in negotiations. Okay, let's look at next. What is the proposal? What are the proposals for Medicare and Social Security in Obama's 2014 budget? Okay. I want to take a break here, and I want you to think about that. Make sure you come back, and I'll tell you what he's proposing already as an initial offer in terms of Medicare and Social Security. You'll be quite surprised. And then we'll talk about taxes and defense spending in the budget as well. But let's take a break for now. This is Jack Rasmus, Alternative Visions. We'll be back to talk about these provisions in Obama's 2014 budget shortly.
Sometimes tomorrow comes soaked in treasure and blood. Here we stood the job. Now we'll stand the flood. There's a new world coming. I can see the light. I'm a jack of all trades. We'll be all right.
Okay, this is Jack Rasmus, Alternative Visions. We're talking about Obama's 2014 budget released last April, what it portends for the next round of deficit cutting, which will come in the second half of 2013, and will be integrated with the tax code, major historic tax code changes, which will focus on bigger tax cuts for corporations and multinationals, a reduction in exemptions and deductions, and some loophole closings, but mostly cutting of spending in order to pay for the even greater corporate tax cuts that are coming. Okay, let's talk about Medicare in the budget. A little background first. A Medicare program has five basic categories. As I said, it's got Part A hospital, Part B doctor, Part D is in dog, prescription drugs. It also includes payments by the government to private insurance groups and some subsidies for what's called Medicare Advantage. Notice the government is paying insurance companies, subsidizing them for this extra 20% that if you want coverage 100% for doctor's fees, you got to pay. You got to go out and get private insurance called Medicare Advantage. You got to pay for it. But the government's also paying the insurance companies for Medicare Advantage. All right. So these five programs. Now, if you look at his budget, a little technical here, but bear with me, right? Part A, hospitals, and Part B, doctor's fees. We see over the next decade an incremental, in other words, a net additional cost increase for Part A and B combined of $195 billion from 2012 to 2023. Okay, cost for Part A, Part B, hospitals, doctor's fees, another $195 billion increase. Oh, that sounds, you know, pretty bad, doesn't it? No. Because receipts and revenues to cover Part A and B will rise by $227 billion. In other words, the two main programs of Medicare show a net surplus of revenue and receipts over expenditures over the next decade. All right, so where's the crisis here? Right? If we're going to have a surplus in Part A hospital plus Part B doctors together, where's the crisis in Medicare? Well, the crisis is in prescription drugs, Part D, and the other two elements, group plans and Medicare Advantage. Now, why is there a crisis in prescription drugs? Remember, this was the program passed in 2005 under Bush. George Bush actually given people something. In other words, mom and papa actually, grandma and grandpa actually got something out of George Bush. Not really. You know, the prescription drug bill does provide some assistance in drug purchases for seniors, but it's really a pharmaceutical subsidy bill. Why? Because there's no cost or price controls on any of the prescription drugs, and they've been going through the roof, the cost for such drugs. Now, the other problem with the Part D prescription drugs is when they passed this law, they did not provide any way to fund it. No tax hike. Unlike, you know, the Medicare payroll tax, 1.45% you pay, there was no even token attempt to provide tax receipts, refunding revenue for the prescription drug program. It was paid totally out of deficits and has been ever since and has contributed $500 billion to our total debt since 2005. All right, I'm not arguing against the program, but I am saying, yeah, they never funded the program. And as a result, the cost of prescription drugs are going through the roof, have been going through the roof, and it is prescription drugs, as well as Medicare Advantage and the group plans, where the runaway costs exist in the Medicare program. It is not the basic Medicare program of hospital and doctor fees. No, it's drugs and subsidies to the insurance companies by the government. That's where the cost runaway problem is. Okay, so why don't we just address that dimension of the problem? Interesting question. You know, why do we have to make retirees, grandma and grandpa, pay more for Part A and Part B? Why do we have to do that? Why don't we just figure out a way of covering the runaway cost for prescription drugs and at the same time get rid of this Medicare Advantage subsidy to insurance companies? Now, if you look at Part D, cost increases, over the next decade, it's a net additional $114 billion, okay? And when you add the other subsidies to Medicare Advantage and so forth, another $127 billion, we have a total cost increase for drugs and the other programs of $241 billion. So we got a shortfall for these programs, and we got a surplus for the regular Part A and Part B. Well, seems to me that the solution is simple. You know, the solution is not to make folks pay more for Part A and B in order to recoup some of the costs for Part D, drugs, and these other subsidies. Right? If you listen to Obama and others, they would say, oh, Medicare is the real reason why we're going to have such a big increase in the deficit. $7 trillion is projected over the next decade. Well, remember, folks, $4 trillion of that $7 trillion were the extension of the Bush tax cuts. You would have nowhere near the problem of deficits if you didn't extend the Bush tax cuts, 80% of which benefit the wealthiest 20%. And now they're going to cut corporate taxes on top of that, right? And there's another way to solve, quote, this problem in Medicare. And it's not my proposal. It's a proposal of the trustees in the Medicare program in 2011. What did they say? They said you could solve all of the shortfall, including prescription drugs and everything, all the elements of the Medicare program, by simply increasing the payroll tax for Medicare by 0.25%. 0.25%. In other words, instead of paying 1.45% of your pay, you'd pay 1.7. You wouldn't even notice it in your paycheck. That would solve all of the shortfall, even if you didn't stop the subsidies for the drug companies and the insurance companies. Right? Even if you didn't, if you just passed a 0.25%, you'd cover the whole program. And another 0.25% starting in 2022 would solve the problem for another 15 years, and by then all the 77 million baby boomers would start disappearing, including yours truly. Okay. And Medicare costs will begin to come down, all things equal. Right? In other words, there's no Medicare cost crisis. The problem is escalating no price controls for prescription drugs. But, you know, you listen to the Obama administration and Republicans, you know, the problem is grandma and grandpa are using too much medical care. They're getting too good a deal, and they got to start rationing that Medicare. Another way to pay for the runaway Medicare costs in those drugs and so forth that I mentioned, not only to make mom and pop or grandma and grandpa pay, but to cut payments to doctors. And that's in the Obama budget as well. Reduce it from $68 billion payments to doctors to $61 billion. Right? Doctors and patients will be paying for insurance companies and drug companies. That's the Obama budget on Medicare, and it will result in a two-tier health care system. Look, this is all about rationing of health care services that started under Bill Clinton with the whole idea of HMOs and managed care, right? In other words, reduce the cost increase for Medicare by getting people to use fewer medical services, make the patient pay. And then we head on to George Bush. Remember, George Bush tried to pass what we call health savings accounts, privatize Medicare, privatize the health care system. That was Bush's proposal. Well, Obama's proposal is managed care plus HSAs, health savings accounts by another name. That's all it is. Make grandma, grandpa pay more out-of-pocket costs so that drug companies can keep escalating the costs that they're charging for prescription drugs, and you can keep paying group plans, subsidizing group plans and Medicare Advantage insurance companies. That's what's in Obama's 2014 budget. Okay. And by the way, those were proposals by Simpson Bowles. The only thing you're not seeing yet is to raise the eligibility age for Medicare. Oh, but they'll start talking about that. Republicans, key Republicans in the House, are really in favor of that, as they are in favor of turning the whole thing into a voucher system starting in 2022. In other words, HSAs, totally privatize the whole thing. The Bush plan. Okay. let's talk about Social Security. Okay, Social Security. Social Security is not going broke, folks. It's sitting on a $2.77 trillion surplus, which is the result of tax rate hikes beginning way back in 1986. Now, it, too, is composed of separate programs. All right, remember we said there are five different programs in Medicare? And there are several different programs in Social Security. There's the retirement program, old age retirement. Right? And then there is the disability insurance program. Okay. It's the retirement program that has the massive $2.77 trillion surplus. It remains fully funded by payroll taxes through 2023. You don't even have to draw down the surplus for another decade. It's fully funded, according to the Social Security trustees. Ah, but the disability insurance program is what is in trouble. Okay, what does this mean? Well, you can get permanent disability under Social Security, and in recent years, during the economic crisis and massive layoffs, we have 2 million more workers who have gone on disability. Okay, some of it obviously justified, but that increase in 2 million more clearly indicates that the cleverest realize that unemployment insurance may be temporary and not as generous, so they figure a way going on disability. Well, the courts and the administration and businesses are quietly attacking that, raising eligibility and so forth. The big problem is, of course, the lack of payroll tax contributions. We had the deepest contraction of the economy back in 2008-09, and we've had virtually almost no recovery in jobs. We still have over 20 million people unemployed. That means they're not paying payroll tax contributions into the disability fund or into the Social Security fund. And then Obama, of course, you know, cut the payroll tax. All right. So we got a shortfall in the disability fund of $30 billion a year. We do not have a shortfall in the retirement fund. Just as in Medicare, we had a problem with prescription drugs, Part D, not with Part A and B. Here we have a problem with disability, but not with retirement. So why don't we just address and fix the disability problem? Why instead has Obama proposed to cut payments to retirees with his shift to a new way of estimating inflation? You know, Social Security recipients every year get an adjustment to reflect the rising cost of living. And they use the Consumer Price Index, or an index, price index, inflation index, to measure how much they're supposed to get in a cost of living adjustment. Well, Obama has proposed in his budget to come up with a total new way called the chain CPI, Consumer Price Index, which is really a way of lowering the estimation of inflation so he doesn't have to pay as much to retirees every year in the adjustment. Well, how much is that involving? $233 billion, folks. $233 billion. Obama has proposed in his budget to cut Medicare costs by almost $500 billion and another $233 billion in the cost of living adjustment to Social Security. In other words, $700 billion at least out of Medicare. Okay, so why don't we do something else to solve the disability insurance shortfall? Well, one thing we could do is create jobs, and decent-paying jobs, not the low-paid jobs we have been creating. You know, there was a study done not long ago that showed 60% of the jobs lost since 2008 have been high-paid jobs paying over $18 an hour, and 58% of the jobs created have been low-paid jobs less than $13 an hour. Well, that lowers the aggregate wage and thus disposable income by households, and that's why the median family disposable income has been declining 1% to 2% per year for the last 5 years. Okay. If you had created a reasonable number of jobs, And if 5 million people haven't left the labor force because they couldn't find jobs, and if the jobs were not part-time temp jobs at low pay, we'd have plenty of money going into both the retirement fund and the disability fund. We would not have a shortfall in either. All right. In other words, what I'm saying is both Obama and the Republicans are using the shortfall in disability payment coverage as an excuse to tax Social Security in general and reduce payments to seniors for benefits. Okay, $700 billion, and that doesn't include what you will eventually see later this year in the grand deal, the grand collusion, which will be a raising of eligibility in Social Security for certain. For certain it's going up to 67, 68 after a few years delay and so forth. Okay, maybe even the Medicare eligibility age will be raised. That's less likely, but certainly, for sure, everyone in Washington is in agreement, let's raise the eligibility age for Social Security. Okay. And that, of course, will amount to at least another $100, $200 billion a year savings. What they're targeting is $1 trillion a year. $1 trillion a year. But just like in Medicare Part A and B, we did not have a revenue shortfall. We do not have a revenue shortfall for the next 10 years for old age survivor benefits, in other words, retirement benefits. The cost of retirement will increase about 11% a year, but the revenues are projected to increase at just under 11% a year. In other words, retirement is covered, and which isn't too bad considering that 77 million baby boomers will start retiring, have started retiring this year, last year, and this year. In other words, with 77 million more retirees, we're still able to cover 100% of the retirement program for another decade. You know, and we haven't even touched the $2.7 trillion in the surplus. Where's the problem? And there's another simple solution. Let's put that aside. Let's put aside the $2.7 trillion we could draw upon, and there's another solution to raise a surplus in Social Security. In other words, we're just covering for the next 10 years. We'll still be able to cover retirement. We have a problem with disability, but we'll still be able to cover retirement. Okay. Well, we could generate even a further surplus by raising the cap on Social Security payroll tax. You know, right now there's a base of, I think it's $118,000 a year that you pay the Social Security tax on. Okay, an employer pays half and an employee pays half. Okay. But income for the wealthiest 10 to 15% wage earners has risen faster than the increase in the taxable base for Social Security. So what you got is 15% of wage earners, wage and salary earners, who get a deal before the year is over. They stop paying Social Security tax, the payroll tax. Right? Once they reach that $118,000 thereabouts, they stop paying it. Okay, well, Social Security was passed originally to make everybody eligible for earned income, those wages and salaries, to pay that. Wasn't supposed to be a 15% of the top get a deal. All right, so if you just close that top, in other words, raise that base rate to, 170,000, 180,000 a year, cover the 100%, whatever that is, you will raise a huge additional surplus that would not only allow you to cover all of Social Security projected increases for retirement, but all of the disability insurance projected increases. Just raise the cap. And, you know, I'm only talking about wages and salaries, what we call earned income. There's what we call unearned income. In other words, dividends, capital gains, royalties, rents, interest payments that the wealthy capital incomes get. If we put a payroll tax on that, and why shouldn't we? After all, it's income. you would have enough to fund single-payer medical care for all. Okay. Well, these things aren't even talked about, are they? Not even considered. In other words, the picture I'm trying to give you is that Obama is proposing to move the money around. Right? In other words, make retirees pay more for Part A and B to subsidize runaway prices for prescription drugs and Medicare Advantage. And on the Social Security side, reduce the payment for retirement benefits so you can cover disability insurance increases. It's just moving the money around. At the same time, proposing $700 billion in cuts. Right. To fund what will be big corporate tax cuts coming later this year to offset that, to get to the $4.4 trillion of the Simpson-Bowles proposals. $4.4 trillion. That could have been totally dealt with by simply not extending the Bush tax cuts, $4.6 trillion. You could have solved this thing on January 1st. Just don't pass tax cuts, and we don't have to talk about cutting anything, including defense spending or Social Security, Medicare, or raising taxes or anything. Just let the Bush tax cuts go through. You know, instead, we only tax the wealthiest 0.7%. Okay, tax code revisions coming. Tax code revisions. Let's look at the Obama budget as far as proposals and indications where he's going in terms of tax cuts for corporations and tax hikes for the rest of us. All right, let's take one more break before we do that and we come back. This is Jack Rasmus, Alternative Visions. We'll talk about Obama's budget and tax proposals. This is Jack Rasmus, Alternative Visions. We're talking about Obama's 2014 budget made public here in April and what it means for a deficit-cutting collusion deal coming later in the year, which will be wrapped up in a nice package of corporate tax cuts for the rich. Okay. We were going to talk next about the tax proposals in the budget and defense spending in the budget. Remember, the main point I was making was he's just moving the money around, taking money from one part of Social Security and Medicare to cover the shortfalls in the other part, other parts, disability insurance, prescription drugs, in order to keep the big subsidies going for the insurance companies and the drug companies. Okay, what about tax proposals? Now, as I said, everybody in Washington, including Obama, for some time has been in favor of reducing the top corporate tax rate from 35% to 28%. So we token raise taxes on the wealthiest by 0.7%, and we cut big time taxes on their corporations that produce their wealth in any event. Okay. Keep in mind, and not just the top corporate tax rate reduction, but a deal to let multinational corporations keep most of their $1.9 trillion they're now hoarding in offshore subsidiaries without paying taxes. Actually, they're hoarding it in accounts in New York City for their offshore subsidiaries. So money hasn't really left the country. But Obama has proposed additional tax cuts for smaller businesses, big tax cuts for research and development. Again, benefiting corporations. Wants to raise the business R&D credit, tax credit, to 17%. That's another $118 billion in tax cuts to corporations. On top of the top corporate tax rate cut, which is hundreds of billions of dollars, right? He also wants to let businesses write off their equipment purchases immediately, resulting in another $69 billion in revenue lost. Now, just the corporate tax rate reduction and letting multinational companies off the tax cut will cost the U.S. budget at least somewhere between $700 billion and $1 trillion. All right, just about what he's talking about, raising the cost of Social Security and Medicare. In other words, going to cut $700 billion to $1 trillion for Social Security and Medicare, and he's going to give businesses another $700 billion to $1 trillion in tax cuts coming with this tax code change. And that's just his position. The Republicans in the House will up that ante. Right? Also, Obama proposes in this budget to reduce deductions and exclusions for businesses, meaning $500 billion in tax hikes, reversing of tax write-offs now for companies, health insurance, and pension contributions. In other words, right now, companies, they pay part of health insurance and pension, but they write that off as a tax write-off. Did you know that? Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if we could write off the cost of our share of insurance premiums and our pension contributions? We can't do that, but of course employers can. Well, what Obama's proposing is to eliminate that. Well, that may sound okay to start with, but what it will mean will be the creation of a two-tier healthcare system. That's coming with Obamacare, two-tier healthcare system. Right, go out and buy your own insurance, 30 million people, which is Bush's health savings accounts writ large. Go out and buy your own. Insurance companies will raise their premiums. Y'all are saying, no, the statewide insurance exchanges will mean lower rates. Well, health insurance companies are raising rates already 10 to 20%. And in a recent conference held, they predicted they're going to raise them even more next year. So in other words, we're moving the money around. We're making the middle class pay, taking that money, and subsidizing the insurance companies to provide insurance to the uninsured. It's just moving the money around. Just that we're moving the money around in the proposal for Social Security, moving the money around in the proposals for Medicare, and the tax side, moving the money around. The same thing. Healthcare, moving the money around. Make the middle class pay more to subsidize the poor. But who's going to get the money when you subsidize the poor? That money's not going to go to the poor. It's going to go to the health insurance companies. It's going to go to the drug companies. Well, no wonder they agreed not to fight Obamacare. It's a big windfall for both of them. They love it. Oh, Obama's proposed to increase the estate tax, the inheritance tax. But read the fine print, not until after he leaves office in 2016, which means it'll never happen. Okay. So what we've got for the tax proposals in the budget are essentially the same thing. Continue to subsidize corporations and the rich by moving the money around, just as the proposals of Social Security and Medicare. What about defense spending? Well, more moving the money around here as well, folks. We've had 400 some billion dollars in defense spending cuts that are supposed to occur with the sequester. 64 billion this year. Obama has proposed restoring 40 billion of that. All right, everybody in Congress is anticipating restoring the defense cuts. You know, the Army had its wars in the Middle East, Iraq and Afghanistan. It got, you know, military-industrial complex, the defense companies, got to make money off of the land wars in the Middle East, but now we're pivoting, as they say, shifting to the Western Pacific, contain China, you know, big threat, China, and now it's term of Navy and the Air Force, spending on their toys. Yeah, they're going to benefit now, and of course the same companies that provided the land equipment are going to now provide the Navy and the Air Force equipment in the Pacific. Again, moving the money around, reducing the cost of overseas contingency operations, OCO, a code word for off-budget funding of the wars in the Middle East, and then move that back into the equipment, military equipment acquisition budget, you know, drones for the Air Force, more drones for the Air Force, more F-35s for the Air Force, right? F-35 costs $140 million per plane. So do the big drones. I forget what it's called, the Hawk or something. That costs $150 million each. All right, so they're just moving the money around on defense. They're not going to cut defense. All right. So what do we have here? We have a big crisis brewing here. big crisis in retirement, in particular. Not just an attack on Social Security and Medicare, which is coming. All right, that's only part of the problem. We have a collapse going on in what remains of defined benefit pension plans, pension funds with zero interest rates kept low by the Fed are losing money, and we're going to see another crisis in defined pension plans. We have 401k plans, which are collapsing. Why? Because people are taking money out of their 401ks. Withdrawals from 401ks are at their highest level ever. And over half of the money that's being withdrawn from 401ks is not to buy new homes or pay for college. It's to pay monthly bills because people's wages and incomes aren't growing. So they're drawing money out of their 401ks. That will mean even a greater crisis. Savings rates, personal savings rates, down to 2% again. And we got 77 million people retiring. And Social Security only provides $1,100 a month. The 401ks are collapsing. Defined benefit plans are being wiped out. How are all these people going to live in retirement? Right? Well, the fastest growing part of the labor force is, guess what? Old folks, over 65, because they can't survive. And they're taking jobs that young folks should be getting. We need a total overhaul of our retirement system. We need Medicare for all, which would reduce the cost of retirement significantly. Right. We need incentives for people to retire early, not later, to open up jobs for young folks. And, you know, all this could be funded. As I proposed before, all you need is a financial transaction tax. And that would solve the entire problem. You know, 1% tax on stock trades, 1%. A 1% on every 10,000 valuation of bond trades. A 10-cent tax on all over-the-counter derivative trades. And a 10-cent tax on all foreign exchange, retail foreign exchange trading. In other words, people speculating and buying currencies in different countries. Not central banks buying up each other, but retail forex trading. Elsewhere on my website, Kyklos Productions, KYKLOSProductions.com, I've written about the financial transaction tax, also on my blog, JackRasmus.com. You could raise $900 billion a year with these proposals. And certainly not going to slow down, it's so token, slow down stock and bond trading, if you did. Oh, but, you know, big business is apoplectic about the whole idea of financial transaction tax. You got some of this going on in your proposals for introducing an FTT, financial transaction tax, in Europe. Corporations are mobilizing against it in Europe. They want to continue austerity, make workers pay, right? And just the idea of it occurring in Europe is causing American corporations to grow increasingly concerned. And you're starting to see reports in the press about, oh, how a financial transaction tax would be so terrible, right? So they see the possibility of what's happening in Europe spilling over here. Corporations are mobilizing against it in Europe, and they're preparing to mobilize against it in the U.S. Okay. You could solve this thing, as I said, simply by ending the Bush tax cuts or passing a financial transaction tax, and all this would disappear. But that's not even on the agenda. They won't even discuss that for obvious reasons. People may find out that it's not a bad idea. Okay, so that's it today. We didn't get to talk about public banking and the recent public banking conference. I'm going to do that again, but go to my blog for some writings on that coming up, jackrasmus.com. Follow me on Twitter, #drjackrasmus, and you'll get more information. All right, next week we're going to have an interesting show next week. We're going to have folks back from the Green Shadow Cabinet, and we're going to talk about some political developments, grassroots Democratic organizing going on. Okay, so join us next week. This is Alternative Visions, Jack Rasmus.